Unless you are wildly overburdened with free time and also possessed of desire to learn a variety of new highly specific skills, or maybe have a team member with the time, interest, and aptitude for it, starting a podcast for your company usually means hiring a third-party service provider of some kind. And you've got a lot of options for what that relationship can look like. There are solo providers like editors and promoters, podcast coaches and consultants, full-service production agencies, training companies, niche-specific agencies, and recording studios that do in-house production, all of which have their own spectrums of price, quality, and capacity. There is a lot out there when it comes to options for producing your podcast. And as you know, hiring a third-party provider can be such a thing. When you're hiring for a podcast, it's a fairly high-risk one. Your show needs to reflect well in your company and help you achieve important goals. The provider that you choose to work with, therefore, needs to be reliable and produce high-quality work that you can depend on. When you work with a really great producer or production company or other kind of provider, then creating your podcast can be a really pleasant part of your workflow. You'll get to focus on creating interesting and valuable content and won't have to do much else while the benefits to your business stack up over time. But when you end up with a less than satisfactory relationship, it can be one heck of an expensive nightmare and time suck. So today, we're talking about what information you should gather from the different providers you talk to while you're exploring hiring help for your company's podcast. This is The Company Show, a podcast for business owners and marketing managers whose podcast is just one of the many, many things they need to do every day. I'm Megan Doherty, one of the creators of podcastingforbusiness.com, and I'm sharing the results of our years of experience working with company podcasts, our original industry research, and talking to experts and company podcasters who have incredible insights and case studies about how to get the most out of your podcast. So we first published a version of this episode back in 22. It was our very first season of podcasting, and a lot has changed since then. The podcasting industry has exploded. There are so many different kinds of providers, different technology available that can help or hurt your show, and generally just a lot more noise in the industry that you've got to cut through in order to make a great decision for your organization. Based on all of this, it was time to update our list of the things that you should ask a production company or podcast service provider before you start doing business together. So when you're ready to take the plunge, or less happily, if you took the plunge and sank, then you should probably plan to talk to at least a couple of different service providers to really figure out your options. The types of services and the prices for production can vary really, really widely from company to company. And it's also important just to get a sense of what the company is like, what the values are, and make sure that, you know, you've got a good vibe working together. It can be a really intimate and close relationship. If you've got friends or colleagues who podcast, asking them for recommendations is a great way to get your starter list going. And if you don't know anyone in the industry at all, you can join literally any podcast group on Facebook, post that you're looking for an editor or producer, and be prepared to receive dozens and dozens and dozens of messages with people eager to sell you their services. You will almost certainly find a few that you can talk to within the horde of eager humans that will be responding to your post. So, once you've got your discovery calls booked, here's what you should be asking. Number one, what does a successful podcast look like for your company? As a producer, this is one of my favorite questions to be asked because it means that someone is thinking seriously about how to evaluate the podcast as a marketing channel. Success can mean all sorts of things, from particular download numbers to length of time podcasting, to much more nebulous things like being invited to speak at more conferences or shortening your sales cycles or other kinds of business benefits. What they say isn't as important as the fact that they have an answer for the question. That answer can even be, it depends, but they need to be able to tell you what it depends on and how the determination of that success is going to be made. What you don't want to hear is something like downloads or there's no way to evaluate success or whatever you want. That's not really helpful for a business show. If their vision of success matches your vision of success, they pass. It's a good sign. Number two, do you require a contract? And if so, what are your terms for the length of time we're going to be doing this together? Now, any provider is going to have a contract or services agreement that you need to sign in order to do business. That's just practical. And a lot of what goes into those contracts is going to be boilerplate. You know, who owns what content, who does A, B, and C, and when, liability, emergencies. But one thing that you really want to be aware of and that you can ask about before it's contract signing time is the length of the term of service. This is a really big one. There are providers who work month to month and allow a variable number of episodes. There are those with specific packages that include certain deliverables and a certain amount of content. And there are those that require time-based commitments of up to a year. There are still others that let you cancel at any time with sufficient notice. Make sure that you end up working with a company who offers you the level of flexibility and stability that works best for your firm. The most important thing is that everybody knows how long this arrangement is going to work and what steps need to be taken if changes do need to be made. Number three, who owns the life of an episode? So there are a lot of moving parts in every podcast episode: finding and inviting guests, preparing for the call, recording, audio editing, asset creation, scheduling and promotion, maybe video editing. And it is extremely important to be clear on who owns the entire high-level process of the podcast. You don't want to make a production relationship with someone assuming they will, and then find out that they are never going to be proactive about anything in terms of asking you for content or making sure it gets scheduled. You just want to make sure that your expectations are aligned in terms of who owns the project and whose desk the project management is going to be sitting on. Different companies are going to take responsibility for different elements and different numbers of elements. And some are more proactive about things like making sure you get your audio recorded on time, getting reviews and feedback organized, and scheduling episodes than others. So you want to make sure that you've got clarity on exactly what you can expect in terms of who's going to be owning the podcast and driving the whole process forward week to week. The next question is directly related. Number four, what are the handover points in the process, and where and how is that information and content shared? So there are going to be times in any production relationship where you need to get information from the producer and they need to get information from you. That whether that's, you know, feedback, questions and answers, content, assets, reviews, anything like that. So you want to be clear about what are the points in the workflow for each episode, where that can happen, and what is the method you do it by. Do they have a dashboard or portal that they need you to use to send them raw audio for them to edit? Will they upload the finished content to your Dropbox or Google Drive folder? Is email the best and fastest way to submit your feedback, or is there a shared project management system you should use instead? There are no right or wrong answers here. You've got your own workflows within your company. They've got their own workflows within their company. The important thing is making sure that you're going to be able to integrate those workflows and those systems effectively. And sometimes when you discuss this with someone, you can find an absolute deal breaker. So it's a really good idea to fully explore before you sign on the dotted line. Number five, is there any kind of coaching, feedback, or strategic help provided for the show? If one of your goals is improving your own or your boss's skills as a podcast host, and one of the priorities is making the podcast a valuable investment, then you probably want to work with a firm or a provider that offers some kind of coaching, feedback, and strategic consulting. This isn't needed for every show by any means, but if it is something that you're interested in, you'll definitely want to know in advance what kind of consultation around the content and around your performance there can be. You want to ask about things like how often and what type of feedback is provided. You might hear answers like, oh, we'll provide detailed feedback on the sound capture and your audio quality, which is great if that's what you need, but if what you're looking for is critiques on how you interview and how you manage your calls to actions, then you're going to want to find a different kind of provider who can give you that level of detailed feedback. Similarly, you may want to work with someone who can keep an eye on your stats and progress towards podcast-adjacent goals, and you can learn through a discovery call that a provider might be more focused on downloads and social shares. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not a fit for what you need, and that's what you want to learn through these calls. Number six, what is your turnaround time from raw audio to finished episode? Now, this is another thing that can vary wildly from company to company. Some editors and agencies can turn an episode around in a few days or even hours, and others take longer, up to a week or more. There isn't a right or wrong amount of time here, but you can usually expect that the more assets they're providing, like show notes, sharing materials, and the more complex the editing, like lots of different music and lots of cuts and moving things from one place to another, the longer it's going to take. The most important consideration here isn't finding the fastest turnaround. It's establishing that you can make your workflow match their workflow. So if the answer to what is your turnaround time isn't clear and well-defined or can't be easily explained, I would consider that a pretty big red flag. Number seven, is your company utilizing AI? And if so, how? So whatever kind of producer or production company you end up working with, they're probably going to be integrating AI one way or another. There are dozens, at least, of AI-powered services to write show notes, clip videos, enhance audio, and even develop things like scripts and episode titles. This isn't a bad thing, but it's a very good idea to understand exactly what the company you work with is using AI for, and what kind of quality assurance mechanisms they have in place so that you don't wind up with misspelled guest names and choppy degraded audio, or really generic social media posts. Ask what tools they're using at what point in the process and exactly how and when humans are reviewing the work that the AI tools produce before the content ever comes back to you or goes live to the rest of the world. Number eight, what assets do you provide with each episode? Common assets for a podcast are show notes and descriptions, social shares, audiograms, video versions of the show, guest sharing materials, and even things up to and including opt-ins and blog posts and social media promotion and scheduling. Depending on how much support in terms of these assets you need with the show, and how much bandwidth and skill there is on your own team, you might need more or less from a production company in terms of deliverables. It can be tempting at this stage to think about hiring someone in-house to handle everything. So something I'd like to mention is that you're much less likely to find a single individual who's going to be able to do really high quality, complex podcast editing and cool graphic design and fluent social media post writing and killer attention to detail to get everything scheduled and project managed correctly. It is a lot of different skill sets, and while I'm sure such humans absolutely exist, they are rare and probably very expensive, as they should be. And this means that agencies are often the best choice for a podcast with high content and execution needs. Agencies will have different people and departments that are expert in each one of those areas. If, on the other hand, you've got great writers and designers and admin support in-house, let them do what they're great at and find an individual provider for your podcast who can give you awesome audio without worrying too much about the rest. It's going to be a much better value for you and your organization overall. Like most of the rest we've talked about today, there isn't a right or a wrong level of service that a company can provide or make available to you. It's really about figuring out, are they flexible enough in what they provide that it really matches what you need? Number 9, who is providing the service and who are your points of contact? Podcast production companies and agencies come in all shapes and sizes and organize their work in different ways. Some have dedicated teams that work on a select number of shows and everyone gets very familiar with that type of content. Others have pools that they work on, and all episodes they're producing go into a pool and the next editor available starts editing and so on and so forth. As a potential client, it's important to know who your points of contact are and who are the people who are going to be handling your intellectual property and the content that you're creating through the podcast. Will you have a dedicated account manager who's going to be familiar with your show? What about a dedicated producer who's going to get to know you and your show and your editing preferences? If there is a pool and any account manager or editor who's available is going to work on your show, what are the standards that they're going to be applying and can you make any customizations? If getting feedback is part of the service, who provides it and is that a two-way dialogue? Basically, you want to be very clear about who is handling your content and how to make sure that everyone has all of the information that they need as the production relationships involve. Equally important, if there is an issue, who do you talk to and what's going to be the best way to communicate with them to get it handled quickly? Number 10, if you're starting a new show, what's included in a podcast launch and how long is it going to take? So podcast launches can be as simple as creating the first episode and pointing you at Apple Podcasts Connect, or as complex as orchestrating a multi-channel, multimedia content extravaganza complete with launch team and listener contest. The provider that you're talking to should be able to tell you the linear steps in their launch process. What has to be done, in what order, and how long it usually takes. You'll want to know what kind of show development support they provide. Will they be really hands-on in helping you design the different elements of your show, like the branding and the episode format? Or will they just take what you send them and produce it? It's the same thing for the rest of the elements of launching a podcast. You should ask if they have different packages, what is the most popular, and how much time it's all going to take. It's also a good idea to get a sense of just how custom the launch is going to be to you. If a provider has a standard launch that they provide for all shows, that can be a really good thing. It will likely be a smooth process that runs really efficiently. Sometimes, though, you want something that's more personalized and more custom and developed just for you. And in that case, you can ask about how much collaboration and differentiation of the launch is going to be possible for your show. It's very typical for there to be a launch and setup fee for new podcasts, so make sure to ask about those as well. Launch times can also vary really widely. The shortest I've seen tend to be in the, 4 to 6 week range, and others can take a lot longer depending on how much show development and how much social media prep time and other elements take to get all arranged. Number 11, what type of editing does the firm do? There are many different kinds of podcast editing, and it's reasonable to expect that different service providers are going to use different terms to describe them. This is not standardized vocabulary. So the person you're speaking with should be able to describe their editing style or styles really clearly, explaining what kind of sound improvement they do, like minimizing background noise, balancing levels of the speakers, sweetening the overall sound, that kind of thing. And they should also be able to tell you what kind of content editing they will do. Removing filler words, cutting trailing questions out so that everything's really tight and clean. Do they make editorial decisions about what should be included in the show or not? The range can be really, really big, and the ways that editors and production companies might collaborate with you on that can be equally big. The range can be really big, and the way that is organized with revisions and back and forth processes can be really different too. Sometimes companies might be able to follow content edits that you provide, and other times they can make editorial decisions on their own. In that case, you want to make sure that they've got enough subject matter expertise in your area to be able to make those judgments effectively. You should also ask if they can give you an idea in the difference of length between raw audio and finished episode. For example, a typical show will be about 40 minutes long before we start editing and 35 minutes when we're done with it. Ideally, they'll also be able to give you examples of shows they either produce or that are pretty popular and say, we'll do it like that, so that you get a really good sense of what you can expect in terms of a finished product. The key thing to figure out with this question is, what are you going to be responsible in terms of providing editorial instruction and what are they going to do on their own? There might even be a process where you collaboratively establish content standards, and that's awesome too. Just know what you're getting into so that you don't find yourself expecting something that they can't provide. Number 12, how long do their clients keep podcasting? Maybe you've heard the term pod fade. It's when a show starts but then fizzles out after a few episodes, maybe a few weeks, maybe even a few months. But the project just loses steam and stops releasing. It is a very sad occurrence and one that you should definitely try to avoid for yourself if you possibly can. Ideally, the provider you work with will have clients who have been podcasting for a long time. It's a really good indication that they're providing quality service. This is not a hard and fast rule, of course. New providers who are, you know, just getting into the space can provide fantastic service. And sometimes companies specialize in podcasts that have limited lifespans by design. Once a show achieves its goal, it ends and everyone parts as friends. This is just one of the many elements that you should consider when choosing a provider. Number 13, what do you do when there are problems? So this is kind of a tricky one because we sell and often buy based on things being great and everything working perfectly exactly as we want it to. But there's going to be problems. You're human, you're going to make mistakes. They're human, they're going to make mistakes. So you want to know in advance what the provider's approach is to things like maybe you submitting audio late, them making a mistake with an editing instruction, audio that is of too low a quality to be used, or confusing instructions on one level. It might be that they don't have prepared answers for these kinds of questions. Sometimes you're foreseeing problems that they haven't, or vice versa. What you want to be looking for is a willingness to collaborate with you on how those kinds of standards are going to be created and applied. An example of a problem-solving standard might be, okay, if we don't have raw audio from you by this date, then we're going to run a replay that we choose from your archive. Being able to establish a set of rules like this for when there are issues means that you're going to have consistency and ultimately trust, and that's the foundation of a good working relationship. At the end of the day, the most important consideration in your choice of producer or editor is that you trust them with your content. You might only need someone to do just the audio editing of your episodes and you and your team can take care of the rest. Or you might be looking for someone to take you by the hand and walk you through the process and really, you know, take care of every element of the podcast for you so that you just have to talk and network with people. It could be something in between. And there isn't a wrong thing to want from a third-party service provider. The trick is just to find someone who's happy and excited to provide what you're looking for, and someone who's very clear about what they can, can't, or won't do. What do you think? Have I got everything? Have I missed something important? What do you like to ask service providers when you are kind of doing that discovery process and deciding who to work with? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Find us on Instagram at OSC Podcasting or fill in any contact form on podcastingforbusiness.com. That's all I've got for you today. This has been The Company Show, and as always, I've been your host, Megan Doherty, the co-founder of podcastingforbusiness.com. This episode was produced by the whole team at One Stone Creative. Till next time, bye-bye.